Let's bring in Glenn Thrush now, senior White House reporter with Politico. Glenn, I want to look ahead at the campaign trail with you, but can we just look back at something we just heard, you know, these women in a focus group who found Mitt Romney's tone and the use of the word peace appealing. There were other women in the group who said that it sounded canned, and there are people who are saying it sounds like focus group. Your sense of how it worked, and is this the Romney campaign strategy going forward? Are we going to hear him talking peace at rallies?
What's really, really interesting is that, and I know Christina said that there's not an appetite for people to make comparisons between previous performances and the current ones, but the Obama campaign needs to do that because, you know, having attended the debate in Hofstra, for instance, last week, the tone that Romney used on Iran was 180. It was completely different. It was entirely more bellicose.
How so? Saying he would, as he has in the past, strike?
Saying we needed to stand. I mean, just in terms of tonality. I mean, again, remember that Romney's great gift as a debater is providing only as much specifics as is required to not be not come off as vague, right? I mean, that is any. It's not just Romney. It's any good debater does that.
Mm-hmm.
But his tone in Long Island was just so much more strident. You know, this really it seemed like he'd been hit by kind of the peace tranquilizer dart at some point before going on stage yesterday, and it was clearly targeted towards women who tend to support military action, boots on the ground stuff, even bellicose political language, 10 to 15 points less than their male counterparts.
Well, you can go online and find him with conservative commentators on the radio saying that he would, yes, strike Iran. There was, of course, his criticism of President Obama for his timeline for withdrawal from Afghanistan. That was gone last night, but you say there's no stomach for comparison. Let's just do a little here and listen to a little of Mitt Romney last November.
This president has done an extraordinary thing. He announced the date of our withdrawal. He announced the date of the withdrawal of our surge forces based upon a political calendar, not the calendar that the commanders on the ground said it was based for our mission. That was wrong.
And then he announced Glenn Thrush, in 2011, Mitt Romney was asked by conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt if the president waited too long to strike Libya. Romney said yes. He supported military action. So you know, you're saying the Obama campaign has to hit on this, but will it matter?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I want to push against kind of the prevailing narrative here. Since I was part of the conventional wisdom coming out of Denver, I thought the president was awful. But what are these debates about? You know, I had a lively exchange on Twitter yesterday with a Republican strategist Tony Fratto about this, and Tony said, you know, this is like the first debate was like a test. You can't have a do-over on the test, and the second debates were do-overs. Well, I don't think it's like that at all. You know, I think what a candidate says previously actually does matter, and I think, you know, why have three debates, actually four, when you throw in the vice presidential debate if you can't sort of weight them equally? We're supposed to hear what these guys are going to do as president. You know, this is not like Dancing with the Stars where you have the first impression, and I think it is incumbent on the Obama people, and then frankly at the moment I don't think they're doing a very good job of this, to try to make the case that the second two debates, particularly the last one where I think Obama, the consensus was strongest, matter just as much as the first. So far that is not baked into the narrative, and the Romney folks I think have been pretty successful in convincing reporters that the last two don't matter.
Glenn Thrush, senior White House reporter with Politico. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're up against the break right now. Glenn will take a minute break. When we come back, how you feel Obama, President Obama, did last night. I'm looking at a conservative paper here in Boston that called his debate a snark attack and criticized his death stare. But is that what President Obama needed to do as he looks to get more white male voters? We're going to continue our look at what has to happen ahead with Glenn Thrush in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
President Obama and Governor Romney are on an all-out sprint to Election Day. The president starting an 8-day, 3-day swing this morning in Delray, Florida, rallying people to get out the vote, where they can start casting early ballots on Saturday.
It's not just a choice between two candidates or two parties. It is a choice between two very different visions for this country that we love.
And Mitt Romney will be in Nevada later today. By week's end, both candidates will have visited Florida, Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, Iowa, and Ohio. The president even going to spend one night aboard Air Force One. We've been talking to Glenn Thrush, senior White House reporter with Politico. Glenn, we just want to touch on your thoughts on President Obama last night. You know, he had what some felt was the great line of the night, criticizing Mitt Romney's criticism of his cutbacks in the military by saying we don't have naval ships anymore, just like we don't have horses and what was the other, bayonets. But then I'm looking at a conservative paper that said that that was snarky, condescending, and that he had a death stare that might turn off women.
And in your daggers, one would say, right? And by the way, we do have bayonets, just to point that out as an in-law of Fort Bragg soldiers. No, I mean, look, the split screen has not been Barack Obama's friend during this debate season. You know, those expressions on his face, you know, the jokes about Joe Biden at the Danville debate were that he showed off his very, very good bridge work, right? Smiling a little too much. I don't think you could accuse Obama of that. You know, in Denver, in the spin room, the sense among a lot of reporters is that he looked a little like Dana Carvey's church lady from Saturday Night Live. And he just looked kind of angry, ticked off with Romney. Those optics are not great for the president.
Well, and I have to rush to say that we've talked about this before. You know, there are many African Americans who feel President Obama, in particular, is attacked if he looks angry, because black men, in particular, aren't supposed to look angry.
But and I can tell you, having covered the 2008 campaign, you know, that was very much in the forefront of David Axelrod's mind, Barack Obama's mind. When you're running a national candidacy, when you're trying to break the color barrier, I mean, you are dealing with these sort of baked-in perceptions and caricatures. So I think that clearly, on some level, is a factor. As for the actual words that came out of his mouth, you know, I thought there's some disagreement in the Politico newsroom about this. My boss, John Harris, thought that it came off as pretty condescending. I thought the little boats that go under the waterline was kind of funny. Earlier on in the debate, I think, though, a lot of the lines that came out of Obama's mouth sounded sort of canned, particularly the one about...
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Pick the line.
Yeah, no, the one about sort of like the decade stuff, fiscal policy from the 20s, you know, social policy from the 50s. It's,
Foreign policy of the 80s is looking, the 80s is looking for its foreign policy.
Yeah, that's just, you know, that's up there kind of with Big Bird.
Well, but, you know, sometimes it's what registers. Let's look ahead at what both candidates are doing today. New ads coming out. Mitt Romney released this 30-second ad. We'll have a snippet called Apology Tour.
The president began with an apology tour of going to various nations and criticizing America. I think they looked at that and saw weakness. Isn't the reason I call it an apology tour? You went to the Middle East and you flew to
Isn't
Egypt.
It surprising, Glenn Thrush, that Mitt Romney is going with foreign policy when it shows clearly in focus groups that people responded to the economy and jobs, and when that opens him up for criticism of his own flip-flopping on his own foreign policy?
Well, I got to say, I was floored by that, not just because of the foreign policy aspect, but because of the negativity, right? Heading into the debate, with the momentum that Romney has had recently in some of the polls, the sense was that, you know, he was going to do the Reagan-esque man with the sunshine on his face routine, right? And that he was going to sort of portray Obama as bitter, which is sort of what his game plan going into the race was. That seems to have changed in very short order. So that means the Romney people must be seeing what the public polls are showing about Obama's strength in some of these battleground states. And by contrast, Obama is moving in on a much more conventional presidential, positive, optimistic closing message. So,
well, let's hear a little of that. Yeah. We have his new one-minute ad is called Determination, Shades of Morning in America. Let's listen.
Here's my plan for the next 4 years. Making education and training a national priority. Building on our manufacturing boom. Boosting American-made energy.
And the president also unveiled a new 20-page booklet today laying out a second-term agenda. He'd been criticized for not laying out his agenda. Both candidates criticized for not getting into the details of how they do what they do. But again, there's that sort of Morning in America ad.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that is basically he's doing what sort of the Clinton crowd has asked him to do for a long time, which is be more specific, even if it's a little phony baloney, which I know that the president himself despises these 5-point sort of presentations, thinks they're trite and lower the the level of debate, but there you have it. We've got a 20-page booklet. And I think there is a real sense with Obama that he's got to reclaim at least a little bit of that 2008 optimism to get voters out to the polls. I mean, to me, I think people are looking at women, people are looking at the youth vote, people are looking at swing states. But to me, the most devastating statistic that he's facing is this gap between likely voter support and registered voter support. Mm-hmm. Romney wins on likely voters in most national polls.
These are people who are more likely to vote.
Exactly, who are much more likely to go to the polls, who are motivated to vote for their guy. Obama leads on almost every poll, even the ones where he is significantly down, like Gallup nationally with likely voters. He leads or is very close with registered voters by a margin of as much as 5% nationally.
So he's got to get them out.
Closing that gap, getting people to the polls is his main task.
And by the way, we have about a minute left, but Glenn, you remind me, one of the key battleground states, of course, Ohio. And we're hearing that while the candidates appear to be tied in some polling in Ohio or close in Ohio, if you go into the internals, President Obama is ahead on many things. What's up there?
Yeah, there's a real sense, and this goes back to reporting I did last year. You know, the Obama people were never afraid of Mitt Romney in Ohio. It was Rick Perry, curiously enough, who imploded in the primaries that they were afraid of. They feel that Mitt Romney's pitch, particularly his opposition to the auto bailout, is devastating. And there is a sense, and we're hearing it also on the Republican side, that they may have hit bedrock here, and they may have penetrated as far as they possibly can on Ohio.
Okay, well, we got to get you back to parse that, because I still don't understand why you could be tied in the general, but then in the internal parts of a poll, have somebody ahead. So we're going to have you come back to talk about that. Glenn Thrush, senior White House reporter for Politico, thanks so much.
Take care.
Take a break. Latest news is next, here and now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, by Harvard University, whose Harvard Extension School has online and on-campus courses for students around the world, extension.harvard.edu, and the Institute of Contemporary Art Boston with Os Gemeos, colorful dynamic paintings by Brazil's most renowned street artists, on view now, icaboston.org.